muted.
Hello and welcome to the Atlas Mara Limited Q1 2017 investor call. Today I am pleased to present Bob Dymond, Chairman for Atlas Mara. For the first part of this call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question-and-answer session. Just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. Bob, please begin your meeting.
Thank you, operator. I'd like to say welcome to everyone for our Q1 results update. While we were all here recently, we're happy to have more to report so soon. This is our strongest quarter ever. Profits were good. We had a focus on non-performing loan recoveries, which continues to pay off. We continue to pick up new deposits. I think more importantly, all three business lines continue to make very, very strong strides. In core banking, for example, we continue to drive performance under the focused leadership of Sanjiv. You're going to hear from him about that. Fintech and digital is actually moving quite quickly. More key partnerships have been put in place. Our plans will deliver new customers, new deposits this year, not just down the road. Going after the underbanked and the unbanked segments of the market, we have some really cool stuff happening here. Chitty will have a chance to talk about that. Markets and treasury continues to grow and to grow profitably. Not much more for me to say now. This is already a good and growing business. Mike will tell you more in a few minutes. So by way of introduction, 2017 so far is on course to deliver exactly what we have promised. Irina, as always, it's good to start with you to give an update on the financial results.
Thank you, Bob, and good day, everyone. I would like to echo Bob's sentiments, and I'm delighted to be able to report the financials for our best operating quarter, reporting a net profit of $5 million. Slide 5 of the presentation provides the key headline figures. We saw good growth in revenues year-on-year of 12.5% to $58.4 million in the first quarter of 2017. While this was somewhat helped by the inclusion of FBZ, which we only acquired at the end of the second quarter of last year, the inclusion of FBZ in this first quarter also increased the cost base. It is thus worth noting that our total costs were in fact down year-on-year by 13% to $50 million. Note the positive jaws, a key focus to continue this momentum of revenue growth stronger than cost growth, especially in constant currency terms. For the quarter under review, this was in fact 7 percentage points. Slide 6 depicts the strongest start to 2017, comparing key financial ratios both against the comparative prior Q1 period and against the 2016 year-end position. Slide 7 reports our adjusted operating profit, as we usually present this to our investors. We have historically used this slide to provide specific context to our operating numbers, providing more clarity on our performance on a basis which best reflects our longer-term sustainable profit level by separately disclosing key one-off items related to our M&A activities and associated restructuring and reorganization costs. During our full-year results, you may recall that we've highlighted expected convergence between our underlying operating earnings, that is, this adjusted operating profit, and our reported earnings number. We have not been focusing on acquisitions in 2017, and those costs have fallen away compared to the comparative prior period. The M&A transaction expenses and costs incurred in Q1 of 2016 related mainly to closing the two acquisitions that we made in Rwanda and Zambia last year. What is also important to us is that the improvement in performance is not just about the one-off costs falling away, but has been driven by operational improvements in the businesses. The delta was from an adjusted net loss of $2 million in 2016 to delivering an adjusted net profit of $5.2 million for the first quarter of 2017. This was a function of improved revenues, lower costs, and an ongoing focus on recoveries. Slide 8 shows our balance sheet for the first quarter with comparative numbers for reference. I won't go through all the figures on this slide other than to say the most notable item is the improvement in total deposits of 7.7% year-on-year, or of 10.4% measured in constant currency terms. The acquisition of FBZ largely contributed to this result, but that was intentional as part of the expected benefits in acquiring FBZ in Zambia. The best thing we can do, especially in the shorter term, to enhance our profitability is to attract better priced deposits, something that Mike and Sanjeev are both focused on and will talk to later in some more detail. We have seen a moderate reduction in loans and advances to customers of 2.6% or of 1% measured in constant currency terms. This has been part of a careful review of our risk management framework given the macro conditions in each market. While we are seeing good asset growth in some markets, we are managing down in others to be nimble in addressing credit risk on a through-the-cycle basis, reviewing and adapting the portfolio continuously as part of our risk management strategy. Slide 9 shows the underlying momentum in revenue across our businesses. As shown on the graph in this slide, revenue momentum was building over the course of 2016. The slower first quarter is somewhat seasonal and brings me back to what we have shared in our 2016 full-year results call on 31st March, that we expect the second half of 2017 to outperform the first half-year's results. Slide 10 provides a summary of our loan books and credit quality. As shown, the non-performing loan trends continue to improve despite a fairly static balance sheet. Our consolidated NPL ratio has improved since year-end and now stands at 13.1% compared to the year-end reported 13.3%. Acknowledging this is still higher than what we aim for it to be, our teams on the ground are working towards a target ratio of, on a consolidated basis, of around 10% towards year-end. The credit loss ratio, or so-called cost of risk, of just under 1% is well within our risk appetite and was supported during the first quarter by loan recovery of $1.7 million. As mentioned before, recovery efforts across all of our operating countries is a key business focus for us in continuing efforts to restructure and recover that remaining non-performing loan book and thus support profitability and earnings delivery to shareholders. And finally, for me, slide 11 presents the confirmation that all of our country banks are fully compliant with local regulatory requirements around capital adequacy and liquid asset ratios. Our operating banks have sufficient capital to support our business growth objectives. And on that note, let me hand over to Sanjeev to talk more around such business growth initiatives. Thank you, Sanjeev.
Thank you very much, Arena. Despite a somewhat challenging macro environment we see across our countries of operation, our banking franchise has been quite well positioned for growth given that we have a multi-country footprint, and that helps us. And also what helps us is the excellent talent that we have leading our banks and the ability to work across centers of excellence, which is our new decentralized management structure. I'm happy to announce at the outset that I have been approved to be the new Africa Banking Corporation CEO at the holding company level and will be based in Botswana. So I have got all the central bank approvals. On 31st March, as reported in the last report, and in line with that, we closed our Johannesburg office and we have started to relocate to Gaborone all our operations from where we are going to be running the group's retail and commercial banking operations. As mentioned in the last call, I'm very excited with the opportunities ahead and the strategy that we will roll out for our various banks. Our vision is to make each of our franchises into a full-service bank and leverage our regional footprint and innovation capabilities. Some examples of that are as follows. In Botswana, our business is mainly concentrated historically in retail. I feel we have a big opportunity to roll out corporate banking business and to expand transaction banking. Also, to get into the area of public sector, a huge opportunity there. In Zambia, we have an amazing opportunity to capture the synergies between ABC's retail bank and finance bank, which we acquired last year, the corporate banking business of that. In both Zambia and Botswana, as I said a little bit earlier, we have good possibilities of expanding into the public sector and government relationships. Also, transactional banking and digital payment products. In Zambia, Rwanda, and Zambia, we have a tremendous opportunity for pre- and post-harvest agricultural financing. We will continue to roll out transactional banking products as well as point-of-sale machines and agency banking across our market to improve access to better-priced deposits and increase our ability to grow our liability base. This is in line with what Arena mentioned a couple of minutes ago with regard to the need to have better-priced deposits and a more stable funding base. We have a good presence in two regional blocks, which is very important, gives us critical mass, and that is the SADC, or the South Africa Development Community, and the East Africa Community. This provides us a solid platform, particularly for our corporate banking business, to support our customers who are doing regional and cross-border business. In Rwanda, we are creating strong centers of excellence in fintech, and we are getting tremendous support from the government there. We recently held a leadership offsite, and as a team, we identified several new opportunities, some of which I can share with you, and those include things like alternative financing trade financing through alternative channels, i.e. through the currencies of China, India, Middle East, Singapore. Introducing products which are targeting the construction center, this construction sector, and there's a lot of potential in that. And property ownership linked to that, which is on home financing. So both corporate and retail opportunities there. Driving penetration into small and medium enterprises, something which we've been doing in a smaller scale in the past, I think we can upscale that. Partnerships with utilities to provide digital solutions, and so forth. We already have started seeing some growth. And in slide 12, we would like to present some examples of these. This slide appears crowded, but I think that's a sign of healthy indicator showing a good deal pipeline. The slide is self-explanatory. I'll not go into details, but I'll just highlight a couple of examples for you. So in Botswana, we won, for example, the Botswana government 5 years prepaid card service contract. We also opened a new trust account with Orange. In Mozambique, we rolled out 110 points of sale machines and achieved 62 million meticas of transaction. Our focus on growing the small and medium enterprises portfolio resulted in 82 new accounts. In Rwanda, we reduced the cost to income ratio to 84% from almost 100% the year before. We opened new accounts with Tigo, a telecom operator. In Tanzania, we opened a new branch in a very key commercial center, and that was inaugurated by the Minister of Finance. We added several new retail customers to our customer base. In Zambia, we rolled 37 new point-of-sales machines and recorded a very large increase in our transactions. We won the Airtel Trust account. We also expanded our customer base by adding 5,400 retail customers. In Zimbabwe, we continued the point-of-sale machines rollout, and we more than trebled our merchants to 187 and more than doubled devices to 463 in quarter 1, 2017 compared to the whole of last year, actually. We also concluded the sale of non-performing loans, resulting in a significant decrease in non-performing loans ratio to below 14%. With our new, leaner, decentralized organizations, our countries will be more empowered to capture opportunities, respond quicker with innovative products and solutions, and therefore better serve our customers. We are incredibly excited with these opportunities, and we look forward to reporting even more exciting results going forward. Thank you very much, and with that, I would like to hand over to my colleague, Chiri, who will take you through our fintech and digital businesses. Chiri, over to you.
Thank you very much, Sanjeev. The combination of low levels of access to formal financial services in Africa, which is currently at about 30% of adult and youth population, and high levels of mobile telephony adoption, which is at about 80% of the population, continue to present unique and compelling opportunity to deliver digital financial services to a broader population that are unbanked and underbanked. In the first quarter of this year, we progressed the rapid development of our transformational and reinventional initiatives. On our transformational initiatives, which are essentially initiatives that seek to drive efficiency and scale within our banks, we commenced our merchant acquiring initiative in Q4 2016 and have continued to see significant growth as we roll out in more countries. In Q1, the number of terminals deployed increased by 81% from 384 in Q4 2016 to over 700 in Q1 2017. Zimbabwe, Mozambique, and Zambia are live, while the rest of the countries will go live by the end of Q2. The agency banking project has also reached advanced stages in Tanzania, with a target to go live by end of Q2, whereas Rwanda and Mozambique will be live in Q3. This project is significantly important to us because it will add as much as 500 additional service points to our network by end of 2017, where customers will be able to open accounts and transact more efficiently. On our reinventional initiatives, which are the initiatives that seek to help us attain scale speedily and maximize profitability, we continue to drive collaborations, which form a key plank of the initiatives. And this quarter, we're pleased to announce two new important partnerships that will help us deepen our activities in this area. We executed an agreement with Vodacom Mozambique for the introduction of mobile savings and microloans to over 1 million M-Pesa mobile money customers in Mozambique. In fact, this initiative has been approved by the Central Bank to enable us to initiate this project. We also executed an agreement with Telcel in Zimbabwe for the issuance of companion cards to over 500,000 mobile money customers across Zimbabwe. Both initiatives, which we are very excited about, will help us add as much as 200,000 customers by the end of the year, helping us grow both deposits and profitability. During the course of the rest of the Q2, we expect to announce about two or three of similar initiatives to help us boost our reinvention initiatives. At this point, I'll welcome Mike, the head of markets and treasury.
Thanks, Chidi. Personally, I'm really happy with the contribution of the team again in this quarter. The markets component of the business delivered a gross revenue number which is 33% higher year-on-year at $10.8 million. This is despite a challenging environment in two of our historically bigger markets, namely Botswana and Mozambique. This shows that the benefits of the diversification of revenue streams in terms of both clients and products has paid off well in Q1. The Zambia and Zimbabwe teams particularly delivered strong performances to sustain the revenue growth. Our focus on fixed income distribution has been a success in this quarter in both of these countries and has contributed $2.4 million of the revenue in the quarter. Of course, none of this comes without effort on the part of our great teams on the ground. On the year-end call, I highlighted that ours is a vanilla client-driven business. The team had 100% growth year-on-year in the number of clients visited this quarter. And although overall volume of transactions is lower than in Q4, which again highlights the slowdown in Botswana and Mozambique, the quantum of transactions is up 25% year-on-year, highlighting the increased focus on client diversification. We aim to continue the focus on client diversification in Q2 and beyond, and have a detailed plan per country to help us achieve this. And on that note, I'll hand over back to Bob.
Bob, if your telephone is on mute, can you please unmute it?
We just did that. Thank you. Thanks again, Mike. When I became chair in December, I committed to all of you that we would streamline both our cost and our management structure. Well, I'm pleased to say that we've completed the cost restructure. We continue to be committed to the bottom line savings that we've committed to you. And more importantly, our management team is working very, very well together on execution of the plan. The bottom line is that the business is really beginning to move. We had a strong quarter, but even more promising is what 2017, 2018, and beyond will look like if we just continue to keep up the progress that we have made this quarter in the three business lines. Now, we didn't come out here a month ago and promise you a good quarter. We promised you a good year, a strong year, and we are on course to deliver just that. So I'm going to say it one more time. Our top three priorities this year have not changed. It's about execution, execution, execution. And if we execute on our current plans, we will drive earnings, just as we've promised. And those earnings will drive the share price. Thank you for joining us. Happy to take some questions. Operator, let us know if there are some questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask an audio question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may do so by pressing 02 to cancel. So that is 01 to register for a question. There will be a brief pause while questions are being registered. Our first question comes from the line of Mohamed Sida from Citi, South Africa. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, Sanjeev. This is Mohammed from Citi South Africa. Sorry, I didn't quite get you when you said who has been approved as the group CEO for ABC?
Mohammed, it's myself, Sanjeev.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
So that's in line with what we committed, as Sanjeev is head of retail and commercial banking, in charge of our countries. And that role took approval by the regulators across Bank ABC, just to give you a little bit more color. And we just wanted to tick that box for you that those approvals are all in place.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from the line of Joe Mass from Clearbirds. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the question. I wanted to ask about your expectations for loan growth and margin, given the seasonality probably saw in the first quarter, what your expectations are for the year, and then how that relates to the expectations for NPLs. Are you anticipating increase in loan balances? Are you anticipating reductions in absolute NPLs? Thanks.
Thank you. Why don't I ask Sanjeev to make a few kind of business-oriented comments, and then Arena to put it in a financial context, and both of you take a shot at this question. Thank you.
Yeah. Joe, thank you very much. Great question. The way we expect to grow our loan portfolio is by a process of diversification. So let me tell you what I mean by that. As I said in my presentation, in different markets, we have different customer segments where we are currently been dealing with. For example, in Botswana, we are in retail segment. We have the whole corporate segment open before us. I won't say whole, we have some corporate accounts, but I think we have a lot of room to grow there. Zimbabwe is somewhat the reverse of that, where we have a large corporate segment and we have relatively low share in the retail. So we have room to grow in the retail. So I think that's how we are going to access the different customer segments to grow the loan portfolio. We will also do a process of cross-sell. So where we've been dealing with the retail clients, for example, in Botswana, we are dealing with the unions or the retail clients. We hope to expand, cross-sell that, and start dealing with the mother unions, provide corporate banking products, and vice versa. So if we are dealing with corporate and SME customers, we would also like to deal with their employees and offer them employee programs and so forth. We believe that with this diversification, we will be able to diversify our credit risk as well. We also believe that we have good teams. Banking is about risk-taking, so we cannot shy away from taking risks. But we believe we have good risk management disciplines. We have good risk management policies and procedures. And most importantly, good teams to be able to assess and manage those risks. So that puts us in a good position to undertake bankable transactions with an acceptable level of risk. We expect loan spreads will understandably go down, and the way we expect to make up our returns is through the process of cross-sell. So where we are selling loan products to customers, we're going to sell them transactional banking, we're going to sell them foreign exchange and digital products, etc., and vice versa. So I think that's how we expect that we will be able to maintain our spreads.
Arina,
would you like to say something further?
You've done a great job. I think 2 points specifically on the question for the loan, the NPL book and the loan recoveries. I don't have to say much more on the asset growth. I think you've heard the answer is a very confident yes. Definitely more than average GDP across all the countries is our target. We also look at the NPL book and want to highlight that it will come down for two reasons. One is the factor of scale, the growth, so the denominator will increase. And in terms of the proactive and focused recovery efforts that we put on the non-performing loan book, and that is why we remain confident that the NPL ratio will improve and the absolute NPLs will continue to come down.
Got it. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you do have a question for the speakers, then please press 01 on your telephone keypad or press 02 to cancel. Our next question comes from the line of Nigel Maggie from Kingdom Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Thank you. I have two questions. One, on the cost savings, Bob, if you could talk about, I guess, the size and scope we're talking about here. I'm forgetting if there was an actual number we had. Obviously, costs are definitely down year over year and sequentially, but I'm curious, you know, what's the total scope of cost savings we're looking for? Is there a targeted cost-income ratio, and when do you think that'll be fully realized? That's one question. And then the second one, you guys are targeting on course to deliver 100% earnings growth year over year. I'm just curious if that is comparing it to a reported net profit or the adjusted net profit year on year, which would adjusted was almost 21 million and reported was 8.5.
Thank you, Mike. On the first one, and I'll answer both these questions and ask Irina if she wants to add anything to either of them. The cost savings are aimed at our shared services, so both Atlas Mara Center and the ABC Holdings Center. We're taking about 50% of the costs out. My commitment is we're going to hit $20 million on the bottom line net in 2017. So there will be costs of getting those savings. By implication of that, on a run rate basis, they'll be greater than $20 million because we're committing a net of $20 million in this year, 2017, year over year. In terms of the commitment on earnings, that was based on reported earnings, not adjusted. Irina, would you have a comment on either of those? Feel free.
Well said. We want to grow both revenue and reduce costs. And, Michael, thank you. You saw that our reported cost-to-income ratio is now at around 85%. We believe that throughout this financial year of 2017 and at year-end, that will be low. It will be below that 85%.
Thank you, guys.
Our next question comes from the line of Chris Ferreira from Frontier Markets. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hello. I have a couple questions. First off, I would like to get your thoughts on the tax rate. It looks like there was about a 46.2% effective tax rate in the first quarter. So I want to ask a little bit about what your expectations for the full year are. And then the second one is any comments regarding the movements that we've seen in Nigeria with this new FX rate, which is now trading close to 375 naira per dollar. Wanted to get your thoughts on how you think that impacts UBN's business and how you account for it. And then finally, somewhat related to that is any thoughts on expectations of participating in UBN's capital raising? I believe they're trying to raise about 50 billion naira. I would like to know a little bit about your expectations for that. And that's it.
So since Irina is on the ground in Nigeria and been with many of the team over the last days, it's probably best, particularly on the tax rate question, Irina. But you and I have also been talking a lot about the impact of the currency market. So why don't you take those?
Thank you, Bob. Tax rate, that's quite correct, and I believe that throughout the year you can expect that to hover between 26 and 28% for this year. For the new FX window that was introduced in Nigeria, we're very pleased, we're very supportive. Anything that helps to provide more currency in the local market clearly supports the economy and then the banks, and UBN will benefit from that as well. It's very early days, so one will need to see how that flows through the period, but we understand that there's been an increase in dollar inflows into Nigeria over the past 2 to 3 days. It seems to be really more commercially driven and provide a window for transactions that couldn't be transacted through the more narrow official rate. Bob, in terms of our long-term view, as we've often said about really being optimistic about the long-term growth prospects for Nigeria, we cannot disclose, unfortunately, any transactions that are confidential and non-public, but we remain very committed to Nigeria. We believe UBN is a very strong bank with a really good management team, and we're very pleased to be part of them and for the contribution of them in our earnings.
Okay, I understand that. Let me ask you this, going back to your comment on the currency. So if we assume that there's more activity, more money flowing through, that's actually at a much higher rate than what you're currently using in order to translate those earnings. I mean, what's the impact on your earnings from that?
Okay, so important, and by no means am I an economist, at least an armchair version thereof, but the new FX window does not take away the official rate and the market functioning around that. It is really a window that is intended to be more market-driven, and the initial signs, as I've said, suggest that the CBN supports that by leaving that or even buying and selling into that with, if I may say, minimal interference, so that works to support the business. It does not replace the official rate. So for banks in Nigeria and ourselves under IFRS, we are still required to report earnings and include the UBN investment in associate at the official rate. So that is around 3.15 to the dollar. You're right that the new FX window traded between 360 and 390, and we will need to see where that average out. But we don't see at the moment, or in the short term, in fact, that there will be convergence or the do away with the current official rate versus the free FX window now. So it does not impact our carrying value. That's been very much reviewed by us and signed off by our auditors lately. So for the current financial year, we do not see that there will be a significant impact unless there's an official deterioration by the government.
Okay. All right. Appreciate that answer. Thank you.
As a final reminder, if you do have a question for the speakers, then please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. There will be a further pause while questions are being registered. As there are no further questions registered, I will return the conference back to Bob.
Thank you, operator, and thank you, everyone, for joining. Again, good first quarter, but it's only one of the four quarters we need to execute on in 2017, so we'll all get back to work. Thank you very much.
This now concludes our conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.